How's it going, everybody? So this is the second of the two barcasts that have come out this week. As you guys may have listened, we had the Lost episode come out on Monday, and also check out the Dune review that I did on Wednesday. So this is a shorter barcast, but we had two barcasts this week because of the Lost episode, and I'd really like to do more interviews. Like, I'm working on reaching out to people for interviews, like people I'm interested in talking to. And now that Anchor is going to be supporting video podcasts, I'm going to try and focus my energy on that as well for the interviews. So enjoy the ad. So, all right, we're recording. Dude, I got the Fall Leaves flight. I've only tried the Tiller Blackberry Saison.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
All right.
Like, for a Saison, I've had better. But, like, in terms of just, like, not tasting, like, rubbing alcohol, like, so far, so good. How have you been, man?
Good. What was last month?
What was last month?
September, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, September was last month, yeah.
On the either 2nd or 4th, Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous came out.
Yeah.
And I now have 400 hours in it.
8 hours a day, so eight weeks. No, wait, am I doing the math right on that one?
I don't know.
8 hours a day.
Yeah.
That would be 10 weeks now. All right, 56 hours, if it's 7 times 8. So, yeah, that makes sense. You've been playing about 8 hours a day.
Yeah, more or less.
More or less.
Yeah.
Oh. 5 days a week. For the last 10 weeks, let's say you've been playing it 5 days a week for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. So, did you watch Fandom yesterday?
Did I watch what?
DC?
No.
Okay. The new Batman trailer is out.
Oh, I did see stuff about the Batman trailer.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
No, it's the second trailer, so like I tried streaming it, but somehow they managed to screw up the second one and not the first one.
Hmm.
Because like I tried logging on to it, and I think there was multiple streams that you could have switched to, but they weren't all, like, I wanted the fresh new one. So I went to the website, and the website on my phone wouldn't work, and then the website on my PS5 wouldn't work.
I'm just gonna ask him. That's good.
How you doing, man?
Hey.
What are we thinking?
What's good and dark?
Good and dark. We got rid of Pterodactyl. We just came out with the Sif and the Raspberry Chocolate Sif. So it's about an 11.7 Imperial Stout. Comes in an 8 ounce. It's phenomenal.
Can I get like one of these or those too?
Yeah, for sure. Do you want one of each?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, that raspberry chocolate sip, like, that sounds delicious. Sounds.
Yeah.
Like I said, like beer in theory is awesome. Beer in actuality is not always as awesome. I gotta make that into a t-shirt now that I say that out loud.
I mean, anybody who knows, anyone who has had beer, that seemed kind of, trying to think of the word.
What was the worst one that was like, God damn it, like, if you would nail this would have been the perfect beer?
I don't know.
Because I've had I want to say it was Rogue, double chocolate stout.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, it's going to be extra chocolatey, because it's a double chocolate or whatever the version. It does not taste like chocolate whatsoever. Mm. But that could also be because it's canned. So I'm going to give them, maybe on draft, it would be awesome. Maybe. They put a little nitrous in there, but nope.
I had a seasonal
there's a regular sip.
Thank you.
And there's the raspberry sip.
Thank you. I had a double chocolate.
Cheers.
Was it double chocolate oatmeal stout? I think it was like a double chocolate coffee oatmeal stout.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It was seasonal, so I was like, I just kind of picked it up at random.
Mm-hmm.
And It was intense,
yeah,
but really good.
Okay. You don't have to remember who it was, would you?
Don't even remember the name.
Okay.
It's been, like, the greatest mystery
God
ever since I did it, like, years ago.
Double chocolate coffee stout.
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal stout. Ooh, okay. All right. I've got to try and remember that. So, a Pathfinder, is that a PC game, or is that a tabletop? Okay.
Well, okay, so Owlcat Games, the one who makes these. What they do is they take a Pathfinder tabletop adventure path and make it into a video game. First one they did was Kingmaker. You might have heard or played it.
I'm aware.
Okay. Kingmaker is easily the most well-known adventure path in Pathfinder.
Yeah.
So they probably why they started with that. Also, this is pretty good.
Okay.
This is not the raspberry.
Not the raspberry. Sif.
I will try the raspberry. Ooh.
Better? Or different?
Way more of that chocolatey taste. Kind of like if you were to... Kind of like a Sakatort, which is a black raspberry chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Sakatort-y.
Okay. Okay, so...
But yeah, no. So Kingmaker is very sandboxy and it's got a lot of aspects of making your kingdom, which I find kind of tedious.
Yes.
So that's the big flaw in the Kingmaker game, is half of the game is a thing I don't like. And if you turn it off, it makes the game kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But you can turn it off.
Okay.
Wrath of the Righteous, I guess, is pretty well known now, before this. I really wanted to play it on tabletop because it introduced mythic tiers. So, you know, D&D 3.5 Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's essentially the same thing. Since their first adventure path was for D&D 3.5, Rise of the Rune Lords. And then they took Rise of the Rune Lords and said, let's just make our own system, since they're making 4E.
Yeah.
And everybody hates it. Let's just make not 3.5, but 3.5.
Yeah.
Also a little bit better.
Okay.
So they did. So it's basically that. So it's 1 to 20 levels. But they introduced Mythic, which is Mythic Tiers, which is a side. And it's just 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be... level 15 Mythic Tier 3, or whatever level in whatever tier.
Okay.
And it basically gives you demigod-type powers. Like, obviously at Tier 1 it's gonna be weak, but at Tier 10, you're basically unkillable. Unless by, like, some super specific god-killing thing in-game.
Well, there would have to be... As you're, if you're a game developer, like, there's a
That's tabletop.
I know that's tabletop, but, like, even still, like, if you're a game developer, you want... Like, is there, like, a player versus player aspect to it, or...
You could always player versus player. You could do whatever you want.
No, because here's what I'm saying, though. Like, one of the best and worst ideas, like, in game making was demonstrated with Quake in God mode. Because... Or was it Doom in God mode?
Well, Quake had multiplayer.
I know Quake had multiplayer, but like I think it was Doom, where it's just like the game became too easy. It's like that thing from the Matrix. It's like we built you a perfect paradise. This
I don't know if Doom had like a god mode. I know Quake had quad mode.
An early shooter had it where
Quake is an early shooter.
Yeah, so I'm just betting it was either Quake or Doom. So it was just that whatever you were playing, like nothing could kill you, and then just every. It was too...
Like a pickup or like a permanent thing?
It was a cheat code.
Oh, well, it's a cheat code.
But here's what I'm saying, though. It ruined the game for people that... It was like, oh, man, this is awesome for 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah. That's me and cheating in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I cheat, and I get bored of it instantly.
Yep. It's a line from The Matrix that sticks out for me. It's like Agent Smith is explaining the various versions of The Matrix. He's like, you know, the first one we made was perfect for you guys, and then you couldn't handle it, so everyone just, like, lost their minds. And then we had to introduce,
we had to make it suck more.
We had to make it suck more for you.
It has been a long time since I've seen The Matrix, and they never made another one.
Well, they never
they
made another
never
one.
They never made another
yeah,
one.
I know that.
Never will.
Never will? So you're not even...
They never will.
Not even going to give
such
the...
Such a shame.
I was going to lead you into the next part. So, like, if you return to something, what, 2005, or was the last one?
When did The Matrix come out? I think it was like 2003 or 4.
I think The Matrix came out in 2000, and then, or 99. Then it took them 3 or 5 years to make a sequel, but then the sequels were like a year apart.
1999.
Okay, so. And then.
The last 90s movie of relevance.
Yeah, pretty much. It's one of those movies, like that and Fight Club, like just spawned all of the like the rhetoric, not necessarily the rhetoric itself, but like just like the terms
Fight
that we
Club
use.
Fight Club is very much like steeped in an existing philosophy.
It is, but like everyone talks about simulation theory now. Everyone,
yeah, that's
like,
stupid though.
It is, but
like flat earthers.
I will give simulation theory a little bit of credit. It's more believable than flat Earth.
I think it's just as believable as flat Earth. I think you're not giving flat Earth enough credit.
No, if I go into space, I can actually see
if
the curvature.
If you go into space, you can't prove that you can, though.
No, with an actual, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson broke it down, like science shill.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is a computer simulation.
He's the thing that's stopping you from believing.
To keep you from acknowledging the flat Earth.
Yeah. So, but he explained it. If you have like a protractor or something, and like on an airplane, you could actually measure the curvature of the Earth.
You can do that with water. The horizon is about 3 miles out.
Probably.
No, actually.
Yeah, like I'm believing you on this.
Okay.
One. Like I don't know how you would do it because I don't have that level of intellect where it's like, all right, I'm faced with a problem, and I have to figure it out, like. I do not have that level of intellect where it's like, okay, well, I know this, this, and this, so how do I apply this? Like, I probably know the tools, but it's like you hand someone a bunch of nails, a hammer, and a saw, and a pile of wood, and say, build me a house. It's like,
I'll build you something.
I can build you something. I don't know if I'm going to be able to build you I'll build you a shelter. I don't know about a house. I don't have that ability. Like,
you might not be able to build a house up to code, but...
Listen, if it
a shelter
if
is a house.
If we're talking about four walls and a roof, sure.
Yeah.
I'll even throw a floor in there for you.
Any dad in the 90s could build a house that was 5x5x5 in the backyard.
Yeah, like little things like that. I'm trying to build a desk for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, I want to make a desk that expands so that I can
like
add
a leaflet kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because right now I'm working with a little bit of space, and eventually I want to have more space.
Okay.
So I bought the wooden extended leaves off of eBay that were like $20. I went online like to get new ones, and they were like $50 to $100. So I was like, let's see if I can make these work.
Wood's expensive in general right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
But so I was like, all right, used parts from a table. Okay, let's see how this works. Tried it out. Trial and error, realize, okay, so I need a base for this thing to latch onto. Otherwise, the thing itself is not going to be usable. So,
need the structural support.
Well, you need a structural support. It's also like trial and error of realizing, okay, I think this will work.
You know how a lot of things have like the X in the middle of the square.
Yeah.
That's the structural support that keeps from like leaning one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just going for a desk with like four legs, X is between all three non-feet sides.
Yeah.
Put some plywood over that to make
it nice. So what I did was I picked up a thing of pressed board. It's like the things they use for backs of cabinets or it's the same material that like
composite cardboard.
It's not cardboard, but it's like super hard. It's like wood shavings that's been pressed, so it's
plywood.
Not plywood, but you would know it if you saw it. It's like it's big on the backs of cabinets or whatever.
It looks like flattened wood shavings.
Yes. But it's not that. It's not the one you're thinking of.
It's probably the one I'm thinking of.
It's like it breaks off the dust more so than shavings itself. You know, it's like that dark brown one.
So like compressed dust.
Sort. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Okay. Because the one I'm thinking of, like you look at the top and it looks like wood shaving, like chips of wood pressed together.
It's not that one.
Okay.
I know which one you're talking about. It's not that one.
All right.
So the. The idea was I was going to make a sticker bomb table desk.
Oh.
And, like, just, like, replace, like, because right now I have my old TV for, I keep it around because I still play time to time the Super Scope and the Time Crisis games.
Hmm.
Because the new TVs, you can't play those games. Like, you would have to get a motion sensor version of the games, which I don't think they're coming out with. So you need an RGB, you need a TV with tubes in it.
Somebody's going to port a rail shooter to VR someday.
Oh, it's already happened. Like
no, I mean like actual, House of the Dead VR.
Ugh. But I still want the old games. I'm not getting rid of them. So I have to hold on to that TV and hope to God it never breaks.
Mm-hmm.
But so I want to put that on the desk. I want to put whenever you're thinking of things, you just think to yourself, what are the possibilities? What would make my life easier? I was like, all right, if I find a way to make it expandable so that like if I can make it bigger or if I get more stickers. Like,
are you familiar with how leaflet tables work?
Yes.
Okay. It's not super simple.
It's not. I'm realizing that.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, trial and error is just figuring things out.
Well, there's trial and error, and then there's math.
Mm-hmm.
I would say leaflet tables lean more towards math.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything leaned towards math. I mean...
You can trial and error throwing something at something.
Well, like, math is the ability to, like, on paper, all right, that's not going to work. All right, that's not going to work. And then trial and error, which I've been doing, is like, okay, I clearly lowballed this a little bit. I thought if I just had like a sturdy center and then that was attached to the leaves themselves, and then on the other ends that are attached to it, I thought that would work. However, it didn't work because I need more structure at the center. So. I haven't put it together yet, so I'm not entirely sure it's going to work. However, I'm thinking it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if you just get a sturdy side,
mm-hmm.
You can use that as your support to keep your legs together.
Yep.
And just to fix your struts to it really well.
Yeah. So, like,
I'm a big fan of, like, the L desk.
I am, too. However, like, I can't justify it at the moment. And plus, like, a buddy of mine, he actually has his grandfather's desk, which is, you might get a kick out of this. His grandfather's desk was a piece of a tree.
Okay.
You know how all wood is a piece of a tree, but this is actually, like, from a mill. They took two parts of a tree. And just had this like natural flowing wood piece that's like forms an L desk. I think weighs like 400 pounds or whatever, whenever the hell you move it. But it's super nice. And when he got his own place, he was finally able to set up his office with it. Because otherwise, it was just sitting in his basement or at his old house or his garage.
Mm.
But the my mom actually has. We're trying to figure out what the hell we want to do with it. Because like she wants to either turn it into shelves or make a small table out of it. Because like I did my bottle cap bar top a couple years ago, and that's just sitting like even though I'm working on this new desk or whatever, that's just sitting around. But I want to actually turn that into either like a like the top of a dresser, or because I right now I have a bookshelf and a dresser. I want to see if I can replace it with one thing. And I'll just throw that on top of there and make that nicer. Because but that thing's just huge and just like hundreds of dollars worth of bottle caps. Because that's how much I spent. The bottle caps aren't what I spent the money on, but the actual beer that I drank to make that. You have to fill up basically a jar, like a pretzel jar of bottle caps to get enough.
Okay.
And I was also realizing that if I wanted to make, my first thought was like, if I can make a, like an anime character with all the bottle caps, but I would have to have a lot. I would have to have maybe four times or twice as much, math would have really come in handy at that moment, because if I figured out how many pixels are on a TV, and if I just did the math, it was like what does it look like for like an anime character? How far away do you have to stand for it to look like an actual thing? And just like do that, plan that out, that would have been great.
Or you could just find pixel art of it.
Yep.
And
scale it up.
Well, yeah.
But here's the problem with pixel art, like the. The further you are away, the more it works. Like, but it has to be big. Do you ever do this thought in your head when you have your own house, the things you're gonna have?
Kinda, yeah.
I don't know. Me, I want a garage that I can just have like a meat freezer, so that I could do steaks experiments, and, like just like grilling and just like outside the garage, have a grill and a smoker going. So it's not in the house.
I want to get a smoker.
A buddy of mine, same guy with the desk, he said, do you want to go half in with me on half a cow? I was like, dude, you're talking to the right person. I would totally do it. However, even if I kept all of my half of the half of the cow like at your place, it would be a awesome thing to have, but it would be ridiculous for like me to like go in on that, because I don't have the place for it in the...
Yeah. I have the same problem. I have one refrigerator that I share with two other people.
Yep.
Yeah.
But another thing I wanted to do was I want a secret room. I want a room that is blocked off by a bookshelf that if you pull a certain book, it opens up, and it doesn't even have to be a big room. It could be a closet space that I could, a walk-in closet that I could just like sit in with a chair and have my own video games, like it's like mine.
Yeah.
Like where it's just like, you can't find me? Don't worry, I'm around.
I mean, if you don't live with anybody, that's the whole house.
Oh. What's another one I had? I don't know. Little things like that. I could have like a $400 fridge. Like, you know that white one that's always on the floor model? Like, it's always the cheapest.
Not really. You mean like the chest kind?
Not even the chest kind. I'm talking like the standing $400 white. It doesn't have a nice dispenser. Doesn't have like... It's not stainless steel. It's
just a standing freezer.
A standing fridge with like fridge freezer. It's like I walk through Lowe's and Home Depot and all these stores, and I always see like $2,000 or $3,000 refrigerators. And I was like, huh, all right. Then I see that one that's like $200.
It'll hold the temperature.
It'll hold the temperature. Yep.
Fantastic.
And you know what the great thing about those is? They last for 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nothing ever goes wrong.
But no, yeah. We had a freezer. And I don't know. Someone decided early on to get rid of it. I don't know why.
Didn't like the look of it?
I don't know.
No idea?
No. Nah, I couldn't tell you why.
Now, is this your place, or is
yeah.
it... Yeah. Okay. So...
Maybe it just had to be moved to use the space. But still, we could have just put it somewhere else. It would have been nice to have.
There's a podcast called Are You Garbage?
Okay.
So it's these two comedians that, like, they don't always have guests, but there's always some great talking points. So there's, like, the difference between, like, classy people and garbage people. Like, you could be a nice person and still be garbage. Like,
sure.
But there's a lot of, immigrant experience. There's a lot of overhang between garbage and, like, immigrant. It's like having a garage refrigerator, which I was like, that's the most sensible thing to have, like having a fridge in the garage.
Is that garbage or classy?
According to them, it's garbage. But like brushing your teeth in the shower is garbage.
That's weird. Do you listen to these people?
I don't listen to these people. However, I listen to the conversations that they have because bringing your own food to the movie theater.
I wouldn't say that's garbage.
I wouldn't say it's classy, but the...
it's not really either one. It's more of a anti-establishment kind of thing.
But the one guy they had on there, which was... Is it on my face right now?
No. Well,
I can't
close.
Feel it, so... Motherfucker, I hate bees.
Yeah.
For the listener that is sticking with...
Likes you. Oh, he doesn't like you anymore.
As long as he doesn't like me and we're mutually agreeing to stay away from each other, yes, I'm good with that.
Sign the non-aggression pact.
Yes. I walked into my house the other day. I thought a bee was on me because it was the same thing. It was flying up to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was like, all right, for my own state of mind, I'm just going to check to make sure he's gone. I look in the mirror. There's a stink bug on my back. I was like, you motherfucker.
Stink bugs are dumb.
They are extremely annoying because if you have them, like, you're fucked. Because there's... we talked to an exterminator years ago about them. If you spray your roof for 8 hours, you have a 50% chance that they go away. They cost like $400. I was like, nope.
I have a bug zapper. That takes care of them.
Well, how many of those, like, spotted lantern flies have you seen around?
I can maybe count them. 3, 4, 5.
A day or a week?
Ever.
I'm all over the place, so I see them all the time.
Okay.
If you see them, kill them. In terms of, like, just, like if what they say is true, that they kill the trees, for the amount that I'm seeing, just kill them. Because, like, I hope winter gets them, but I don't know if they'll survive winter or not.
Is this a this year thing?
I thought
it's been longer than that.
It's been a long time, but, like...
Did last winter kill them?
I have no idea. Well, this year I was listening to, in February, I listened to 91.9, which is WNTI.
Uh-huh.
It used to be Centenary College, but they sold the frickin' station to University of Pennsylvania. University of Pennsylvania. It's the one that's not Penn State.
Okay.
So, they do World Cafe on certain nights, and, like, there was this one kid song where it was, like, you know, like, child indoctrination type stuff, where it's, like, kill these bugs. It was, like, a really catchy, like, kid's version of a country song.
Okay.
If you see this spotted noise, it's why you gotta stomp, 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 stomp. Or if you see it on whatever the song was, I'm not doing it justice.
Uh-huh.
It's kid's music, so it's, like, it's like that low bar of all ages, but it's like kind of good enough,
I guess.
It's like if Disney was telling you to kill a fly.
Yeah. So I don't really go out of my way to kill them. mostly because no amount of casual stepping on lantern flies is going to impact their population.
Well, you say that, but if everyone just killed one...
No amount of casual stepping on them when you see them. Because we're not going into the forest and hunting them.
Yeah, that's very true. Oh, I know. Well, hopefully...
And the people that are aren't me.
Exactly. So, but I was at a shopping center the other day, and, like, the entire sidewalk was covered in, like, dead ones. It was so... But the... Like I said, though, like, it's like the stink bugs. They're here now. So,
yeah.
I don't think winter's going to kill them. Probably because I don't know. It's like, it's one of those things where you do got to be careful because, like, you know how, like, nobody was really worried about, like, a virus that was going to just, like, spread all over the place? Like, it was like, oh, that's it for science fiction movies.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Well, there's certain bugs out there that if they got introduced to the U.S., they, like, certain crops would be fucked. So.
Yeah. But, I mean, if we didn't have pesticides for pests already, crops would be fucked.
Yeah, but it's... I could see the... Because I've listened to, like farmers talk about it. Like,
I'm sure it's bad.
Like if something were to... I don't know. If corn got affected overnight. Like, we just got, like, some beetle from... foreign country here.
If we could force people to stop growing corn.
Yeah.
And grow something else.
Mm-hmm.
If only.
But, like, overnight, that would be a problem. Like, over time, like, if you said, hey, we got to grow something other than corn, no problem. Over time. But if it's, like, overnight, it's like, fuck you.
Soda would be nine times as expensive. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Candy would be more expensive. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Like, beef would be more expensive.
Not really.
Well, that corn-fed beef?
Grass-fed beef would not be more expensive. Eh.
I don't know how... offhand, because, like, I know that, 90% of, like, the cow's diet for its lifetime is grass. It's like when people...
Well, no, that's grass-fed beef.
Yes, but the... No,
when you have other beef that are just, like, fed in feed bags,
yeah.
That's corn byproducts that they're eating.
Yeah. But
because we have so much corn.
Yeah. But because I was listening to someone talk about this, like, those, like, when they fatten up the cows with corn,
mm-hmm.
I think it's, like, right at the end of its lifetime. It's not...
Probably.
Like, I'm kind of talking out of my ass, but I'm not completely talking out of my ass.
It sounds like it could be legit.
Like, I'm probably missing, like, the minor points that the guy made. I'm, like people remember the broad spectrum of what they hear, but not necessarily the, you know, the important stuff, like the details. It's like, get to the promised land and then, don't forget to knock three times. It's like, okay, get to the promised land. Okay, one, knock, 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 knock. Oh, I knocked five times. Fuck. Now we're not
Are
there
you
anymore.
Referencing something or?
No, but it's okay. It's like that little detail, like that one absolute thing that you had to remember and then you completely forgot that one.
Sure. So did you see... Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl.
It sounds familiar. Is this video game or is this...
Yes.
Okay.
They made a Smash clone that is Nickelodeon characters.
Yeah. Is it good?
It's made by a bunch of Melee players.
Is it good?
I'm not a super big fan of it yet.
Well, was Melee one of the better Smashes or...
Arguably, people will still tell you that it's the best one.
Okay.
But those people are Melee fags. And nobody really likes them. Because they're the ones lugging in the CRT TVs
mm-hmm.
to tournaments and demanding best of five in a really restricted tournament structure where no one else has best of five.
Well, isn't... I could have sworn, like... I've heard, like, I'm not a huge video game community, like, follower,
uh-huh.
but everyone I've ever heard talk about Smash players, I've never heard positive things on the overall.
There are reasons for that, and there are etymological reasons for that.
Okay.
Whatever.
Well, entomology is bugs, and yeah. etymology is words, like the
yeah.
origin of words.
Whatever.
Okay.
there are reasons.
Yeah.
People who grew up in, like, the 80s and 90s playing in arcades, like Street Fighter,
yeah.
ran the risk of, if they were too toxic, getting stabbed. And so the culture grew around that, where good game,
yeah,
being polite,
yeah,
certain arcades might just have rules against throwing. I feel like I grew up on that culture. Throwing.
Like, just like instinctively, because I actually played sports and then I just carried it over.
It bleeds over from in the community. So okay. Street Fighter has this community, and the community teaches new people who enter.
Yeah.
Just by code of conduct.
Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay.
Just, this is how people act, and therefore I will act like them. People who play Smash.
Yeah.
And only Smash grew up as basement kings,
mm-hmm,
who play with their friends and don't really get any wider exposure until they go to a tournament.
Okay.
So you have people who don't have that threat of violence. And the Smash community, like most communities that didn't start as an arcade,
yeah,
are like that. They have that issue where they have to freehand develop codes of conduct,
yeah,
and have them followed.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's really bad.
When, back when I had a PlayStation Network account,
uh-huh,
I still have one now, but I'm talking about like the, it was either that or Xbox Live. I'm trying to remember which one it was. So I was playing Marvel vs. Capcom, I want to say 3, back when it came out, or I was playing as Captain America, and it was my last player, and the guy I'm playing has 2 left, and but he's got way more health than me, and like, just by virtue of just like, am I giving up? I'm not accepting defeat. If the guy beats me, he beats me. Like, that's the way it works. But with Captain America, I beat his one character that had more health, and then he had a little bit of health left on his other one. And so when it came in, like, I shield dashed across the screen twice, and I hit him on both of them. And, like, it was a toss-up whether or not I was winning or he was winning. And just, like, by just, like, just like blocking and then just like a little bit of defense and just like playing aggressive, like when I had to, I won. I get a voicemail from him. It was like, hey man, are you there? It's like, yeah, I'm here. He's like, good job, man. Good job. I don't know how you did that, but good job. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, MVC is one of those games.
Well, the contrast that with, I think I was playing Street Fighter 4 when it came out. I get a voicemail after I got beat, and I was playing online, just trying to, like, rank up. So I was like, you know what? I know I'm not as great as everybody else, so I'm just going to put it to this. I put it to 30-second matches, and then, so I was like, hey, I'm going to either spam something, or I'm just going to play it flat out, and then if I get a lead, like, I'll play defense afterwards. I know I'm playing, like a shitty player. But,
there are people who do that in Smash.
But the people I'm playing are also accepting these matches. Like, they're all, like, the way Street Fighter 4 worked at the time was, like, whatever settings you set it to, that's where other people were also playing it at. So, it was, like, a meeting of the minds.
In theory, that's how Smash is supposed to work?
Well, I get beat, like, flat out beat. Like, the guy, like I got one hit in, and then I think he was pissed about the one hit I got in.
How dare you touch me?
Oh, he didn't even, like I get a voicemail from, not even a, like, open chat, I get a voicemail to my profile account, and I'm not gonna repeat, because, like, what he said to me, but it was, racial epithet, homophobic slur, like, fuck you, suck my dick, then just repeated everything.
Unsolicited opinions of Israel?
Yeah, and I couldn't tell, like, what the guy was. I knew it was a guy. I'm confident in saying it was a guy. However, in terms of just, like, what he was saying to me, I was like, God damn. Like, this is why people don't play online if they don't have to.
I remember I was playing on Xbox Live way back in the day. I must have been early teens.
Yeah, give or take. That was when it first came out, so. Yeah. For us, at least.
Yeah. I was playing some kind of game. I forget. It was a first-person shooter, and like, it was a team-based thing. So, well, our team communicating. We had mics because Xbox Live comes with a mic.
Mm-hmm.
It does, despite what some people might think.
Yeah.
It's a really fucking old joke. Goddamn. Anyway.
Remind me about that when you're done telling the story.
Oh, it's just people who didn't have mics on Xbox Live. It's like the game comes with a mic. You have a mic.
Yeah.
Stop being a coward. Anyway, we're playing. And one of the guys on the team decided to give the headset to a girl he was hanging out with.
Oh, boy.
So she could talk to the people. And she's just, like, inane chatter. And we're trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's sick of her. It didn't take very long. And I was just like, I was like, shut up and play. And she's like, I'm not playing. I'm just on the mic. And then the team, almost to a man, stopped.
Yeah, I can believe that.
And I just broke down everything that I thought she was and or looked like.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, do I have that about right? And she started to cry and left.
Oh.
And then we kept playing and we won.
I know that feeling. I really do know that feeling. However, it's like, that one hurts, though. Like, I'm serious about wanting to win. I'm serious about that. However, like, if you're not distracting or taking away from, fine.
Don't, like, try to start up a conversation with people who are focusing on a game. In the fucking game.
Yeah, that's...
It's not like somebody walked into the room and started talking to you. Somebody got on mic and started trying to talk to you.
My first thought would be, like... Hi, sweetie. Could you put the who gave you the microphone?
That was before. That, like, was when we were just telling her to shut up.
Yeah. He's in the room, right? He's like, because like the Xbox Live, the microphone attached to the controller. So
yeah.
she was like right next to him.
She had to be right next to him.
It was like, hey, could you point your headset to the other the person who gave it to you real quickly? He's like, dude, I'm gonna fucking kill you if I see you in,
No, that's dumb.
Yeah.
That's Xbox tough guy talk. This was effective.
I know this was effective, but he's like, dude, anything that follows after this, it's gonna be, on you, because we're warning you right now.
No, he should have known better from the start.
He should have known, no, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, there's no warnings to be given online.
Because, no, there's
there are
like,
no
oh,
warning shots.
Hi, sweetie. Oh, you're back? Oh, your boyfriend doesn't love you. Because what he's about to expose you to is just, like, his way of,
that's
like, whatever.
Really cringy.
I know it's really cringy, but you know what, though?
Like, it doesn't work.
It doesn't?
It's really cringy. It doesn't work. But, and it's not fun.
But it derives me pleasure.
Does
like,
it?
Like, telling her that it's like, hey, I know this is, like what you think is bonding to him, but what he's really doing is putting something over on you.
I don't think that was his girlfriend.
I
think that was his girlfriend.
I don't know, because you know how, like, the NFL is dealing with this right now. Did you hear about John Gruden?
No.
Okay.
I have no clue.
Okay, so John Gruden is one of those guys that he won a Super Bowl and then went to another team and won another Super Bowl playing the team that he coached against.
Yeah.
So, by that logic, he should be a really good coach.
I suppose.
Well,
I mean, if you have a completely different team with a completely different structure, with a completely different culture, I could see that not meshing well.
So, I might be wrong about the details of this, but guy was a football guy, lifer, like son of a football coach, like was a.
I can't imagine too many coaches can't be described that way.
was a player, like lifer, yeah, like so the like coached as a college, like an assistant player, I think, at, I want to say, like, he was a part of so many coaching trees in terms of, like, who he was the son of, who what teams he coached on before, like, all the way up. So, he had friends that were in the league, and, like, one of the friends he was talking to is a part of a team that's under investigation for just dumbass shit. Because... the team that is being investigated started when the cheerleaders were flown to another country to do like a calendar shoot. They were told, like, oh, you got to be topless, but you don't have to be nude, you just have to be topless. So it's like they're doing like hand bars and stuff like that. Which, by the way, when you're getting paid like $50 a game,
$50?
I'm not throwing out the exact number, but. Compared to what
to
everybody...
cheerleaders?
Yes.
Who cheer for...
the professional team.
That doesn't really...
yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound right. But, like, the whatever number it actually is, it's closer.
Okay.
It's closer to $50 than... I think the guy that cleans the parking lot makes
do
more than the cheerleader.
Do they also make, like, a salary on top of that?
Nope.
Why would anybody do this?
Because you end up on TV, you, there's benefits to saying you're a cheerleader, because, like in the social media age, or if, you're, like, you need a place to put your dancing ability, to use, or, if you're, like, let's say you're a fitness model, it's like, hey, I was a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. Come to my Zumba class, like, and I'm going to charge you extra because I was a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. I know what I'm doing to stay in shape.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, like, it's one of those things where it's like they don't really serve a purpose at the pro level.
No,
it's eye candy and all that stuff.
Yeah, it brings in advertisers, which is what I thought would get you more money,
but it doesn't. In terms of, like, the usefulness of cheerleaders at the pro level, like, they are treated like shit.
To usefulness in the game, but to usefulness for putting butts in seats.
Yes.
That's what I thought the pay scale was based on.
Well,
although I don't know anything about football.
I'll put it to you this way. It was what the team that did that, like, from what I'm understanding was, if it's one thing... you can probably get away with it. If it's a whole bunch of other things, you're not getting, like eventually it's going to come back and bite you in the ass. So, everyone said it was a toxic work environment. Like not just for the cheerleaders, but for, because the cheerleaders are what, you know, in the movie, the gangster movie, where it's like the one guy that's like, hey, like, I'm giving you an out here. All you got to do is just do this one little thing. And if you don't, I'm going to mess you up later on. Like, in Casino, it was, like, the guy, like, that was a stupid dealer. He couldn't, like, every time he dealed cards, he would always lose money for the house. Well, remember the cowboy comes in and says, hey, this guy's my brother-in-law. Could you please not fire him? He's like, nope, he's a liability. He's got to go. So then the guy was like, hey, does this guy have, like, a gaming license? It's like, oh, he doesn't? All right, put the screws to him. So the it was the Washington team, by the way, the Redskins. So Dan Snyder flew the cheerleaders over to investors to hang out with. So he basically pimped the cheerleaders. He didn't tell them to have sex with anybody, but like, oh, you want to hang out with the cheerleaders? All right, that'll be a little bit of money. Then the actual in, like, football end of things, apparently it was a toxic environment, because, like, when everybody agreed that this one guy was an asshole, and he was an asshole that didn't win, because that's the other thing too, like, in sports teams, that is the number one goal, is to win, because if you play playoff games, like, I don't know if it's this, because in the NBA, for example, I don't know if this is the way in football, because it's a different setup. In the NBA, if you make the playoffs, you don't get paid for the playoffs. The way the pay is set up.
I see.
But here's...
Because you wouldn't normally be playing.
You wouldn't. It's not a guarantee you're playing.
Right.
However, let's say you win the playoffs repeatedly. That's a performance boost for you. So it's like, hey, I got you the playoffs. Pay me more.
Yeah.
So that's how... That's like the give and take on that end.
That makes sense.
But if you... like, let's say it's the same thing with the NFL. If you play in the playoffs, like, you have playoff home playoff games, or you eventually, like, win a Super Bowl or something, like, you get to have Super Bowl winning jerseys, like, your fan base shells out money. And if you have home playoff games, like, you make more money based on that, and you're not paying the player. So it's, like, free money to you, almost.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why winning is such an important quality, and, like, guys like John Gruden established that he could win. However, Gruden retired for like 5 or 6, maybe 10 years, let's say, he was away from the game, to the point where like they were in Oakland at the time, but then they moved to Las Vegas. The owner says 10 years, $10 million a year, so $100 million to you. Like, is that, that's how much I want you to coach my team.
Oh.
Because the guy was staying relevant in the years as a media guy. So from 2010 or 2012 to like 2018, when he wasn't coaching, he had a correspondence with like this guy. Well, it turns out he was talking in private, like in that mode of speech, on a company email. So when the company emails got went through for like the cheerleader lawsuit, they all came out, and the guy ends up resigning because you can't talk the way you talk about like players and like not players and other like and still have a job. It was that kind of bad. But the other thing too is like everyone was pointing out, I was like, guys, this is locker room talk. Like the way you talk in private. Like this is if all of your private correspondences, like all of your text messages, just came out in public. This is like if your search history came out in public. So, the way I think it's going down right now, it's like he's the guy that's getting sacrificed. Like someone's got to get fired for this, even though it's not necessarily the things that you would normally be fired for, but. That's how wild he was talking. Like,
sure.
Like, where morality clauses come into play, because, he's the one coach that has an openly gay player on his team, and you can't, like, have as many, like, and this is a guy who grew up in the 60s and 70s, like, so you know that he's throwing out, just things you're not supposed to say anymore left and right, like, alright, how did we get on this topic?
I don't remember.
I think it was Smash Players.
It was Smash Players. Don't get stabbed.
Don't get stabbed.
Don't do throws in certain arcades either.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Certain arcades had rules, like house rules, no throws.
Really?
Yes.
That's annoying, because do you remember how hard it was to get a throw on Street Fighter 2?
That's why the people who could do it were, like, cheating, because nobody else could do it. Especially tech throws.
That's hard. The old ones, at least.
So you come in, you start doing like things like you know how to play, and the people who like are good with the skill sets they have,
mm-hmm.
are just, they can't do anything. You might get stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
So Nickelodeon.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. We're talking about Nickelodeon Smash.
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl.
Mm-hmm.
Or NASB. It has Aang and Korra.
Yeah.
And Toph.
Okay.
Cat Dog.
Okay.
Nigel Thornberry.
Anybody from Real Monsters?
Oblina.
Okay.
I was working up to that.
What about any of the, like, do they have just a competitor from Global Guts or
no.
Legends of the Hidden Temple?
No.
Okay.
Who else do they have? They have Helga Pataki.
She's got to be S tier on that.
No, she's not.
She's not?
She's not.
Those bastards.
I don't know if she's high, but she's not low. Reptar.
Okay.
Who else is in it? Zim.
Invader Zim. I always forget that he's Nickelodeon.
Yeah, he's very un-Nick.
If you consider like the wide range of Nickelodeon cartoons, he kind of fits in there. But at the same time, though, like he, because if you're going to talk about Real Monsters or, but then you talk about Rugrats or whatever.
Yeah.
Like Rugrats, like was the guy that made Rugrats also made Aeon Flux. And he kind of made Aeon Flux as a response to making Rugrats as long as he did, so...
There is a very good breakdown on what happened to Rugrats. And, like it changed hands with creators.
Yeah.
You can find those on YouTube. They're really interesting. basically, like, there was a guy with a vision and other people who didn't like that vision. And then when he left and they took over, they made it bad.
Yeah, the early episodes of Rugrats were, like, there was, like, it was meant for kids, but it was also, it's like, if there was an adult in the room, you recognized.
The movie was really dark.
Yeah, there
Tommy Pickles almost kills Dill Pickles with a rock.
Yeah.
And leaves him in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Rugrats movie event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he wouldn't stop crying.
Anyway. Who else is in there? April O'Neil. Leonardo. And I think one other Ninja Turtle. Donatello.
Okay.
I think. Danny Phantom.
I'm curious, like if this game was a nightmare to legally make.
Probably not. They're all licensed by Nickelodeon.
I know they're all licensed by Nickelodeon, but like in terms of like whether or not Nickelodeon still has like ownership of the rights.
This is probably the reason like Angry Beavers aren't in there and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like that's probably the reason for the roster that they have.
Yeah. Who do they still have the rights to?
Yeah. Or who do they have the most easy rights to? Another lot of characters could just be DLC mm-hmm. that are coming. Like, I can't imagine not having Ickes or Crumb in the future.
Or Doug.
Or Doug.
Is Doug not on the initial roster?
He's not in there.
If Quail Man isn't on that roster.
That reminds me. They have a version of the Ice Climbers that's Ren and Stimpy.
Well, that...
And they have Powdered Toast Man.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Like certain properties has to have to be annoying in terms of who has the rights to it. Because, I don't know how many disgruntled Nickelodeon creators there are. Like, you don't hear about it too often.
Yeah. Then there's also, like, who has the rights to do what. Like, there's the rights of Spider-Man. Who owns Spider-Man? In what medium?
Well, I told you this one story about, I think it was Marvel in the 80s, the licensing department. They sold Spider-Man. Three different times.
Yeah.
Because Spider-Man itself went to one guy.
Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man went to another guy. And then Astonishing Spider-Man and then Peter Parker Spider-Man went to... I was like, yeah. Guys, you just sold Spider-Man to four different people. It's like who the hell... Like, oh, ads did. Sales did. Or whoever the hell...
Yeah. Anyway, it's like it could be like that. Who else is in there,
though? Plus, I don't think they had video games at the time, so I don't know what counts as, the first time they sold the rights to the video game.
They'd probably be using their likeness.
It would have to... Well, there's the likeness, and then there's also... Because I know, if you look at, a trademark patent or something... I forget what kind of thing it is, where it's registered. The amount of things that it's covered in the actual application for something... Like, even though you're applying for, because it's a likeness, and because you're applying for this, you're also getting it for cosmetics, for things that are completely, like baby products. Things that are completely unrelated to what you're applying for, but because the, there's something about, I don't know what it is exactly, but there's a, it's a lot of stuff. It's like two pages worth of stuff that's covered.
They also have SpongeBob, Patrick, and Sandy. Okay. I think Sandy. I'm not sure
about SpongeBob
that.
Wasn't in there, that would have been, like, a crime.
Yeah.
Like, that is the flagship Nickelodeon character.
Oh, yeah. Trying to remember. Oh, yeah. Some show that I've never heard of called The Loud House.
No, that's a new one. That's okay. Past our time.
I got two characters from that. I don't know them. Probably the main character and one of his sisters, I think.
Well, the premise of the show, it's like one boy and I want to say 12 girls that are all siblings.
I've heard after this that I'm like, who is this person? Is mm-hmm. that is that Flapjack?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's not Flapjack.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so I want to do lunch in a little bit, so what our original plan was. You just want to walk down there?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What's something else we can talk about in the meantime?
Dune's coming out.
I kind of want to see it in theaters, but I want to see it at home first.
I'm going to go to see it in theaters.
Because I know it's good. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch Blade Runner 2049 first.
Why?
Because same director. If that one is decent, I'm not saying it's going to be good. I'm saying it like
if he can make a
visual argument for why I should see Dune in the theater.
I think 2049 looks good.
Yes. That's what I'm saying, because like every movie,
I mean, you don't have to watch the movie to know that.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of the director anyway, because like Prisoners is one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
Like Jake Gyllenhaal as Detective Loki, which like that alone, like that little bit of like Hugh Jackman being an asshole parent, and then he's like, no, I'm going to take things into my own hands. Like, of course, it's going to work out terribly for me in the end, but. It's like one of my favorite Gyllenhaal performances.
Jake Gyllenhaal is a really good actor.
Yeah.
But I haven't gone see a movie in theaters in a while, and I just.
I saw two during the pandemic. It was not worth it. However.
Yeah, not a lot of movies have come out.
They were both Liam Neeson movies.
Oh, I don't even know what these are.
Honest Thief, which...
Never heard of it.
Very terrible.
Okay.
Had a nice budget to it, though, because they had decent actors in Jai Courtney and other people. I'll give it credit, the bare minimum things, where, the script was clearly written for a younger man that was supposed to play the role, because it was like, Liam Neeson plays...
Was his wife 28?
No. His fiance was late 40s.
Oh.
So I was like, okay. Like I said, Liam Neeson's playing the guy, so they have a girl that's going to college, but it's grad school, and she's in her 40s. Like, it's like
you need extra dialogue for that.
It was basic because like you know how like Hollywood will there was a graph of all the like male stars as they got older, how young their female co-stars were, and there was only one guy that was sort of even close to going upwards. Like as he got older, like so was like some of his co-stars. I think Denzel Washington, all of his co-stars were like mid-20s the entire time, or something like that. I forget the actual graph. But.
Well, I mean that depends on what the movie's plot is. Like Denzel Washington, his co-star was Dakota Fanning that one time.
Yeah,
she was like 15 or less,
maybe.
That has nothing to do with.
Good movie though.
Oh yeah.
Well, that served the point of the movie, like...
Yeah.
But
like,
I'm
not sure how applicable that graph is to things.
In terms... Like, it listed the movies that, like, at the time, though, it made... It was a worthwhile graph, like, because...
Was it?
Well, here's my thing about film criticism. Like, it has to be, like, pointed.
If it was co-stars, that's weird. If it's love interests... That's more accurate. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So, like, in terms of, like when you have, let's say Liam Neeson is the case or whatever, honestly, like, his love interest was of similar age, and the script, you could tell, was not meant for, like, someone as old as Liam Neeson playing the action role.
Okay.
But it was, because he was playing a bank robber that got out of the military, who was a demolitions expert. And then, like, his dad, ended up killing himself because he lost his job. Like, you could tell, like, it was like, this guy was supposed to be in his mid-20s, like, maybe early 30s. And then they have Liam Neeson playing him, so, he's a fucking idiot in
the
movie.
He's 50 now, right? He's
got to be in his 60s.
Okay.
Because you figure he was in his 30s 30 years ago, so.
I don't know.
No, because you know how I know this? He had to have been in his 30s for Darkman, and Darkman 1 was Liam Neeson.
Okay.
So, that was 30 years ago.
That tracks.
Like, he has to be in his 60s. Mm. So, then the next movie I see Liam Neeson is also the next movie I see in theaters, because only Liam Neeson got movies out in theaters last year.
That's one of the reasons I didn't feel inclined to go to any movies in theaters. A, because I generally don't like people. But two is... Nothing was interesting.
Nothing is interesting, and my dad wanted to go, so I was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
And the theaters at the time, I'm enough of a movie guy, I was like, keep theaters open. Even if it's a couple bucks, kick it over to them. Because they were making it hard not to go, because if you bought one ticket, we'll give you one free. Was one of the things that they had.
Uh-huh.
So, which, by the way, like, they're being dicks about, because I used 16 free tickets at the.
Can I right here for you guys?
Yep.
Hey, take this out of your way. Did you need to get another round or anything?
I'm good. You want to do separate checks on this one, or?
Whenever you're ready, you guys can close that up front.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Awesome.
Right. Okay. So. I was it reminds me, because, like, I used 16 free tickets over the pandemic. It's
okay.
How
do you get free tickets?
Buy one, get complimentary.
Oh.
So there was an option. If you buy one ticket, you get a complimentary ticket. Now, I have minus 16 free tickets on my account now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's like every time I spend money, it's like, where the hell are my free tickets at now?
Mm.
I was like, you motherfuckers. It's like, I basically have to earn enough points to get free tickets again. But I was like, it's like, why the hell would you?
Yeah, why now?
Why now? It's like, so the second movie I saw was, like, the one where it's like a cheap ass remake of the movie Shane.
Is that a cowboy movie?
It's a cowboy movie.
Okay.
Liam Neeson has to get this one kid that's illegal from Mexico to the mom was dating or brother to someone who crossed over the cartels. So the cartels killed the uncle. Mom gets the message, go to America, don't come back, leave. Okay. So she takes like $50,000 to the States. She gets shot. It's not a bad thriller by any means, but it's like Shane with the cheap budget, played by Liam Neeson. And, like, at least Honest Thief had, like, a special effects budget. This one, like, it was a lot of, I think they flipped one truck and I think they did it the old fashioned way too, where it's just like they were driving really fast and turned the car really hard and then just flipped it that way.
Mm.
And then it was like, if you told me that these were Redbox movies, I believe you.
I mean, they will be.
They are now. So. So, do I want to see Dune? Yes. At 20, it's like 50 bucks to go to the movie theater, between 30 bucks for concessions, and then...
I never get food or drinks at the movie theater.
You know what?
Never, ever.
I can make an argument, though, now for it, now that they have their own booze there.
What?
The movie theater has booze now.
Which movie theater?
Anything that's Sinopolis. Like, they have a bar out front, and then you place an order in up front, and then they bring it to your seats.
In New Jersey?
In New Jersey. And the mixed drinks that they have for the movies, like, I've had all of them, and they've been incredible every time.
Aww.
That, mind you, they are city price cocktails in terms of, like, it's like $12, $13 for a mixed drink. But every single time they've been good.
Huh.
So, like, I can make an argument for that. I'm curious to see what the hell the Dune drink's going to be.
Okay, so I'm not a fan of, like, popcorn
yeah.
and a soda.
Yeah.
Or just overpriced food normally.
Well,
I like theaters that serve food.
Yeah.
Even though generally I don't find anything that I want and get nothing anyway.
The average price is about $12 to $15 for either pretzels, pizza, which is basically frozen pizza, and burgers and fries.
Yeah.
The beers have been like about $8, so that's about the going rate.
Hmm.
Depending on what you ask for. I mean, if you get like a nice like craft brew or something, it's about $8. But if you get like a Miller Lite, it's also $8. So that's why, like, go for the gusto on that one. I mean, like splurge, because it's the same price. But I think it was the first one was Jungle Cruise or Jungle Adventure, like with The Rock. It was a Disney movie. They had cask strength Maker's Mark mixed with other things. I think it was like sweet tea or something. Sweet tea and peach concentrate. Dude, I'm buying cask strength booze for mixed drinks from now on, because like just a little bit goes a long way.
I've been watching this one channel for a little while now called How to Drink.
Yeah.
It's just a show about cocktails.
Yeah.
Sometimes he makes dumb cocktails for, like, pop culture stuff. Like, he made a Monster Hunter healing potion.
Yeah.
It's like, this is green. And it's made with herbs. So I'm going to make something green and herby. All
right.
And this is paid by Capcom.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fuck around. And then he'll just go over the... He does a lot of history stuff with alcohol, too. Like,
yeah.
He went over Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
And all of the cocktails and daiquiris and whatnot that would have been around at the time.
Yeah.
The historical, like, manuals for bartenders and whatnot from that time period.
Ooh,
in that area. And shit like that. It's a pretty good show. And then he'll just... Like, he does dumb challenges sometimes, because I would describe the way he describes himself as a professional amateur.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, my staff has laid out 10 whiskeys, and I'm going to try to order them by price.
Okay.
He gets pretty close. Or he made a Manhattan Matrix.
Ooh.
Which was just a bunch of different combinations for Manhattans.
Mm-hmm.
And he's afterwards, where he describes that as the episode that tried to kill him, was like, I was only taking a sip of each one. So I was like, that's not a lot, it's a sip. I was like, how much is a sip really? And times 24, that's like half a bottle of something.
A vermouth and
so, like, for any future Matrixes, I'm going to have a spit bucket, like, at a wine tasting, which I used to think was stupid, and now I don't.
I did a wine tasting for a restaurant that was opening up, because I was a worker there, so I got invited to the wine tasting, mm-hmm. even though I worked in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Dude, that was what convinced me to like wine in the future.
I still like wine. I like kinds of wine. Like, there's a plum wine that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
But, just wine.
Yep.
And not a huge fan. Champagne too. Not a huge fan.
I would recommend Asti over champagne in the future, because it's a little bit sweeter.
It's like, I didn't know how to describe something as dry until I had champagne.
Yep. Would you remember the brand you had, like Brut? Or...
I've had champagne a bunch of times. I couldn't tell you which one. They're all the same.
Actually, you know what like Asti and Spumante, like they're not technically... Like, get a sparkling wine that's not champagne. Because that's what they are. Like, Asti is Italian.
Okay.
And I believe Spumante is, I don't know, like, the judging by the bottle, it Coca-Cola makes it, but...
I'm sure there's a wine out there that I'll like. I haven't found it.
Dude, I'm not a huge red wine person, however, like, I'm a Malbec fan, like, but that's not... The other thing, too, is, like, what I realized from this wine tasting... Go to the Chilean section of the wine store. The Chilean section. Get a Sauvignon Blanc, and then buy whatever bottle it has the deepest pit in the bottom of it. So that, like, if you can fit your whole finger up the bottle at the bottom, like, that is going to be an awesome wine. And then, it's like, I've never gone wrong with that one. However, that's because I like Sauv Blancs. So if... there are people that will never like wine, but one of the things I realized in my 20s, I was like, you know what? I'm old enough. I should know what kind of wine I like. It's like, because, like, I'm a huge bourbon fan. Like, even though, like, I grew up on scotches. Like, I would always look for a good scotch, and then I realized bourbon is, like, $30 cheaper and a little bit sweeter, and then just a little bit nicer in terms
of...
Four Roses. Four Roses what?
Single barrel?
No. I feel like I've had Four Roses before, but I couldn't tell you where.
It's pretty nice as just like straight whiskey.
Well, the other thing too is like you also run into people that don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah.
I was at a wedding one time and like the groom was a part of the bourbon club, so people gifted the bar. A couple bottles of nice stuff. There was Woodford Reserve, which was nice, and then there was 1792. One of the wedding goers tells me, "Oh, this is the top shelf stuff, man. This is the really good stuff.
What is it?
1792."
Okay.
Which 1792? It's a name that
I'm
sounds
sure
like it could
be on
top
of some shelf.
It's like, yes, at 30 at $30 a bottle, it was very much on top of somebody's shelf. When I heard that, it's delicious. It's still drinkable. But like
a lot of price doesn't determine how good something is.
Oh, very true. Because like not the guy you mentioned, but I listened to some guys talk about bourbon and scotch and all that.
Is one of them bald and the other guy has long hair and a big beard?
I think you described half of the drinking YouTube channels just now, so
one of them is a sommelier.
Possibly. I'm not going to say for sure.
Okay.
So they were talking about Woodford Reserve. Like the difference between like a Woodford Reserve regular versus Woodford Reserve Ocean, which is like we throw the barrels in the ocean and the salt water seeps into the wood and like it's constantly moving.
I don't know if I'm a fan of that.
I haven't tried it, but at $90 a bottle for the Woodford Reserve Ocean, or Jefferson's. Jefferson's.
Is that a bourbon?
That's an actual thing.
Does that
Jefferson's
count as a bourbon?
Jefferson's.
It's not a fresh barrel if it had seawater in it.
Well, it's not. No, it's like the outside of the barrel has the seawater, and then the. But hell, Jack Daniel's isn't a bourbon because it's a mash. But
what's Jack Daniel's?
Well, Jack Daniel's is Jack Daniel's, but Jack Daniel's single barrel is a bourbon.
Okay.
Because, but they still do the charred barrel, so it's like used barrels.
Yeah.
So,
you could like look this up if something meets the criteria of a bourbon or not. But yeah.
I know it's a thing, but
there's like a board.
All right, I'm really hungry right now. I would love to continue this conversation on the record, but I need to eat something. So.
Did we talk about Suicide Squad?
That came out in August. So maybe, because the last time we talked to it like this was in August. But before we go, what were your thoughts?
I think that it is a really strong character-driven movie that has a lot of flaws. But is overall, because the characters are so good, pretty good.
I think we talked about this, but I'm just going to say it out loud. I think your point was that Harley Quinn doesn't fit in the movie.
She does not.
But...
she does the best of any Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah.
She's still terrible.
I think every Harley Quinn movie that, or Harley Quinn appearance, I should say, has its strength, has its weaknesses.
Is one of the strengths that it's just Margot Robbie?
Well, that is one of the strengths, because like Margot Robbie is one of those actresses that I will watch just because I know that she wants to do the roles that she's doing, because it's interesting to see actors that have star power and know they have star power, because like there's certain movies that wouldn't get made unless they wanted to make them.
I think that I only know Margot Robbie because of Harley Quinn.
Yes, but there was one movie with Mike Myers. He made one of his few acting appearances in. It was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. But it was more visually stylistic than it was substance.
Okay.
So. Because don't forget, you're watching these movies. Like you read a good book for the great characterizations and all that stuff. If the movie has visuals that are, okay, this is holding my attention, this is making me forget about my phone bill that's due on Tuesday, good, or whatever. I'm not thinking about work, I'm thinking about this. It has my attention. That's my...
I watch bad movies.
Oh, I watch bad movies, too.
All the time.
It's
just whether or not they're bad that people have contention over.
Okay.
People will say that Loki is good.
Yeah.
It's not good. Whether or not someone can go and watch it and enjoy it has no bearing on its quality.
I was saying this the other day. A bad movie is like a good roller coaster. You know where the ups and downs are going to be before... you even watch it. You know that you're going to end up in the same place you started with at the end of the ride.
A bad movie is like watching somebody fall down a hill. Sometimes you pull up those videos on YouTube.
Yeah. So, I think...
There's a guy, I forget what he calls himself, but he's like a juggalo, backyard wrestling... weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not terribly bright.
Okay.
And he calls himself Superman something something.
Yep.
I don't know. You might have seen him pile drive a microwave somewhere.
I can honestly say I haven't seen that, so it's I probably haven't seen it.
It's a little hard to watch.
Yeah.
He has quite a bit of air.
Yeah.
And he just, it's what he does. It's his whole channel.
Yeah.
Him just jumping off of something and elbow driving it, and it never turns out well.
Was he the guy that, because there's a comedian I follow his podcast that was talking about this at one point. Is he the guy that yelled out, this one's for my juggaloos? And then,
probably.
And then he jumped into a wheelbarrow full of barbed wire?
Probably.
Let's assume we're talking about the same guy. I only know of him from the discussion of him.
Uh-huh.
I did not seek out the him, the further adventures of the guy that would jump into a wheelbarrow full of barbed wire, because in terms of I'm not looking for smarter content, but it's I really don't want to watch a guy. I didn't watch the Pain Olympics when it came out, so why am I going to watch a guy just like?
Well, the Pain Olympics are one thing. This is just.
Why am I going to watch somebody...
Will he die this time?
That's not what I'm looking for,
though.
You
never really think that when you're watching something like the Pain Olympics. This is an actual idiot with a camera.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay, on that note, I'm signing off. We've been doing this for a good amount of time. I really appreciate hanging out like this. Thank you for texting me.
Yeah.
Because... you're better at it than I am. So while we're before we go, in 2 minutes or less, have you looked into whether or not we could do a stream of this?
Well, I mean, it was never a question whether or not we could do a stream of this. I can throw up the OBS backlay, do all the things in a day.
Yeah.
It's whether or not you wanted to.
If we could pick a time on a Saturday, because That's the one time I can guarantee I'm free. Like a Saturday night, I'm probably free. Or a Saturday afternoon, I'm probably free.
Okay.
So, if, like, if we just know, like, a couple of... I'll know, like, by days in advance whether or not I'm good for it. If you want to do a stream, just, like, set it up and then just say, hey, are you free this day? At this time, I'm good for it.
Okay.
So keep an eye out in the future for that. Peace.
Yep.